Hi, welcome back to another week of the Muswell Hill Methodist Church podcast. We're so glad you decided to join us today. In this podcast, Sister Myrtle Poxon talks to us about walking with Jesus in our everyday lives. Before we hear her sermon, let's hear from the Word of God in the Bible. John chapter 12, reading verses 20 to 33. Jesus predicts his death. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honour the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there heard it, and said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 5 to 10. In the same way, Jesus did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever, in the order of Melchizedek." During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek.
I think it was John who started the service by saying, "We had gathered here on Monday to give thanks and to celebrate Bill's life." It wasn't a joy because he wasn't here, but you know what I mean. It was a celebration of his life. Bill was one of those characters that when we came in and saw who was gathered here, the many who were gathered here, it was obvious he was so well loved and known. From his, he was a walking medical mystery, wasn't he? And he must have had conditions that nobody in the world ever knew about. And he offered himself so freely to medical science and to those training. He obviously shared an incredible life on the allotment. And when I saw the pictures of the size of his allotment, I thought, my goodness, yes, he did a grand job. But it was that wonderful story after story about people's remembrance of Bill that was all encased in this man whose faith had made a difference to his life. And in many ways, what we could do is point to Bill and say, "You want to see Jesus? Look at Bill's life. Look at the smile on his face. In all tribulations, in all difficulties, His faith held him and kept him. There's many who we meet day by day who want to see various things. They want to see it. They don't want to just be told about it. They want to see it. And I do believe, as churches meet Sunday by Sunday, particularly in the context where we are as God's people across this nation, the church meets Sunday by Sunday. And I would say there's an awful lot of people around who, well, it doesn't even come anywhere on their radar. But when it does, or whether they glimpse it, they want to ask questions which in essence are saying to you and I, well, hold on, we want to see Jesus. Where is this Jesus? As they look at the church, they want to see Jesus. What difference does Jesus make to any of us and our lives? And as we read the scriptures that we are given today, as we try to understand what Jesus is saying, I think we are encouraged by what I've said about Bill. That actually is through the people who stand up and confess the faith that people are going to see Jesus. So you and I, this day, in all you do, have got to show people Jesus. How do you do that? What is the guidance for that? I think the scriptures lay that open to us as we try to understand what it says. As I stand, well, wait a minute, if I go a little bit further across here, and a little bit further across here, yes, I can. If I look through into the garden, I mean, I can see on the flower bed, I can see the daffodils. But if I say just behind it, I see a new flurry of daffodils that were planted. I can't remember the exact date. When did we plant them? December? December time? When we all gathered as multi-faith? November. November, was it? Well, you know, time passes quickly when you're getting old, doesn't it? And we planted these bulbs, which when you plant a bulb looks pretty disastrous, doesn't it? But now we see the flurry of life. And as we look around at this time of year, we see that bursting forth of the green buds, of the crocuses, the snowdrops of long time gone. But what we see is that cycle of creation, that dying that brings life. And it is in dying we live. And Jesus makes that quite clear. He makes it quite clear the prominence and the position and the importance of the cross. The dying on the cross. The cross for Jesus was victory. It was not an end, it was an end and a beginning. And the scripture says to you and I, those who love their life will lose it. Those who hate their own life in this world will keep it for eternal life. There needs to be, if we are to let others see Jesus, a willingness in our journeys of faith to die to self and live to God, to offer all to others. Let selfishness die and new life begin. And let Christ be within us. Life coming out of death. It is not an easy message to live and to share. In the midst of all that is happening in life today, on every media that you look at, it is not easy to stand up and say that life comes out of death. It is a real difficulty when we are talking about the pain and devastation and the breakup of relationships and the whole situation on the world complex as we look at the world. and our hearts bleed, and yet we stand as people of faith, proclaiming in the midst of that we've got a relevant message. What is our message in the midst of that? That hope can live. That life can come out of death. That there can be the glimmers of hope. And as you look back over life and your own lives, you can indeed see the journeys of life we all make, those glimmers of life that come again and again. Very slowly sometimes, very quietly, you begin to see that things can be different. We shared in that sense of bereavement with those who are gathered with us today. But through bereavement, we can see those who, although they never, ever forget, life continues after and can even blossom after. In cherishing a life that has passed, but having that press to live to the full. We can share the glimmers of life with those, and Paul mentioned those who have been in the hotel, who are now can't be in the hotel and need somewhere to live, but mentioned in that statement, many who have got now their right to remain. Life has changed for them. Possibilities of life changing for them and being different for them. Coming out of what seemed a really desperate situation when they arrived, but the possibilities have changed. Life can come out of death, and that's got to be lived out in our lives and shown to those around us. Because as we begin to live in that way, then Jesus can be seen by those who have eyes to see and are led to see. But as we try to really understand how God wants us to be his people, as we listen to the word, we pick up in that picture of Jesus that what happened was not only that he laid down, that it was out dying we live, but it is in that Jesus recognized the moment and obeyed. How good are you at recognizing the moment? How many of you have had that experience of driving? Not all of you are drivers. Well, I'm sitting here looking at you, hoping that not all of you are drivers. But, you know, when you get to traffic lights, have you had that experience where you're at the traffic light and your mind's wandered a minute? And you know the light's red, but you've took your eyes off it. And then it goes yellow, then it goes green, and then everybody behind you has gone bananas because you haven't moved. There is a sense of you recognize, you immediately obey and move. That's what traffic lights are there for, that we move on. We need to know the moment. Jesus knew the moment. This story said Jesus knew the moment. The Greeks came. That's important. The Greeks came because they wanted to see Jesus. Jesus knew for us significantly now that was a universal significant moment. And he knew that this was the moment. How was he going to respond? He said these words, "Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour." No, it is for this reason I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Recognizing the significant moment that faith was opened wide to all. Recognizing that God had a way for all people to follow. Many of us do not recognize the moment. I don't know how many of you would, throughout your experience of life, have actually, if you like, missed the moments. those moments which could have been significant. That you're going on in life through your years, you think back to your college years or your early life of when you were thinking of what way to go, which direction, and how many times you might have just missed the moment. I don't know if there's any of you sit there and think, when you look back at some of the friendships you've had. Now, this is a real time of confession, so don't take it too hard. But, you know, when you look back and confession and you think, and you think of those years and you think of the people who you were with, and maybe in your heart, as you were at that particular time in your life, there was particular people who maybe you were attracted to. And maybe there was one you thought, really, yeah, that's the one. And then you were far too slow. It never worked. You never made the connection. You never grasped the moment. And even now, you're still friends with them, but you'd sort of have a little glint in your eye and thinking, oh, I wonder. But there are times we know we miss the moment. And we are challenged in love, in the points of change, in the points of decision, in the points of action. We are challenged in the gospel for us to really recognize the moment that we need to really not just recognize it, because we do often sometimes recognize it, but we don't do anything about it. We don't do anything about it. We don't move forward because we've come to a time in life. We know we've got to grasp it. We know we've got to move forward. But we don't. I mean, it's not quite the same. It's a little bit like Stephen and I. As you well know, I left here because I was retiring. I'd like to tell you, I haven't recognized that retirement. But I'm still here. And people said to me this morning, what are you doing next year? I'd like to tell you, we're supposed to be retiring. I'd like to tell you, but I have no idea. And there's sometimes, it's really grasping the right moment and knowing and obeying God in the way he wants you to go forward. And for all of us, that is true. We can put things off. How many of you driven round? Well, my advice to you is don't drive down the M25 at the moment. But if you go down Dartford Tunnel, have you ever done that Dartford Tunnel one? And when you've gone through it, you see the thing, pay the congestion charge. And what do? You think, I'll do that later. What happens? You put it off. And then you know you've not paid the congestion charge because they've given you a fine. We do that time and time again. We put things off. But God directs us through his scripture. We can't keep putting, not in living for Christ, we cannot keep putting things off. What about you as a church and you as individual Christians, where you are in your life? I love you all because I know most of you. And I love all you do and how committed you are. But where are you? Where are you? Are you recognizing what time it is in your life, what moment it is in your life? But are you not just recognizing, are you taking action? Because as you grapple with that, as you live with that, as you express it and journey with it, others can begin to glimpse Jesus in you as you are making the actions to change and go forward for this church. And for your individual lives. In your individual lives, where you are and what you're doing, do you have a conscious idea of what the next step is for you in your own individual ministry, your call on life? Let Jesus be seen in you as you recognize the moment and you obey. But the essence of this gospel says about the path where Jesus was being lifted to be seen in glory, lifting to glory. One of the joys of being a grandparent is those little children who then want to run around and play with you, but nothing more than they enjoy is when they're grabbed by usually the grandfather rather than grandma, but sometimes grandma, and they want to sit on your shoulders and you lift them high and they see, and everybody goes, oh, aren't they cute, and they're seen high and lifted up. Jesus' message is in this passage. He describes how he understood the importance of the cross, of him being lifted up so people would see him, see his obedience, see his sacrifice, see his forgiveness and his love, that all would begin to grasp the wonder of God. The sense is the cross is what enables people to be drawn. That's what the words of Scripture say, drawn to see Jesus. So we need to begin to lift up Jesus in the midst of our life and church and community. Be unashamedly ready to lift up Jesus through our worship. So as you worship together, there is a sense of the presence of that living Lord in your midst. The presence of a God who loves and can make a difference. And the worship sings and talks of it, of about sharing faith, unashamedly sharing. Don't apologize for your faith. Don't hide your faith. I was aware of a conference that some people went to and they were talking about evangelism, and somebody was sharing with them and saying, now don't go in and just push Jesus all the time. To which I thought, well, what are you going there for if you're not going to talk about Jesus? But they were saying, you know, don't push, you know, just be nice. And if we can't explain what it is that we're about, if we are frightened to say what it is, the people out, our brothers and sisters from our other faiths, from the Muslim faith, from the Islamic faith, they do not hide what they believe in. Let us not be afraid. Let us lift Jesus high by not only speaking out our faith, but serving others, living it out in the way that we care for others. Jesus needs a central place in our lives so that all can see him. We need to, as the scripture says, die to self and live for Christ. We need to recognize the moment to follow and obey, so that it's not us who see, but it's Jesus who is seen. And Jesus' word is true today. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Be assured of being that people. Be that people here in Muswell Hill. Take advantage of this season of Easter to let others see Jesus, for Jesus is the reason for this season. So let us pray. Gracious, merciful, loving God, speak to the hearts of your children, for the desire of their hearts is to see you. May you be seen as we are prepared to die to ourselves and live for you. May they be seen as we recognize the moment to follow and to obey. May we indeed strive to lift you up so you are glorified, that all will be drawn to you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. We hope that you've been blessed by what you've heard. If you'd like to hear more of our podcasts and interviews with church members, do subscribe to our podcast on Apple Music or Spotify. If you want to learn more about what we're doing in our community, you can follow us on social media. And until next time, God bless you.